John, I don't think you're on the right track suggesting that the Gillard government will be changing the structure of the clean energy package in relation to emissions trading in the budget. I can be fairly confident that won't be happening, not least of which because the Greens hold the balance of power in both houses. And that's a critical component of it. But the fact of the matter is, you have to go back to first principles. We heard all this when Kevin Rudd was challenging the Prime Minister for the leadership, saying if he got it, he would immediately drop the starting price to be equivalent with Europe, etc. What that fails to recognise is the reason that we're going to an emissions trading scheme with a fixed price for 3 years going into flexible pricing is because Labor and the Greens were never going to agree on the adequacy of the target. And so it was determined to set up an infrastructure, which was the Climate Change Authority, which will determine the trajectory of emissions reductions consistent with that 2050 target, and that the first trajectory lot would be handed down in 2014. Now, you can't change that. You can't change the prices. And the reason why it's $23 as opposed to another price is because Treasury did its modelling based on a 550 parts per million scenario and a 450 parts per million scenario. They refused to model a 350 parts per million scenario, which is what we asked them to do. And a 550 parts per million scenario is a $23 starting price going to 25. So that's why I'm telling you, if you were at a 450 parts per million starting price would have been over $50. So that's when, you know, that's what you have to realise, why that just didn't get picked out of the air. It's consistent with those kinds of figures. So that's why I'm saying upward ambition is so essential, that we recognise this is a beginning, it is a platform, it is not an end. Second point I'd make is coal. The idea that if we stopped exporting coal, India and China would just get their coal elsewhere. First of all, there's been a big campaign in the USA to stop new coal-fired power stations, and tragically the response of that has been the coal companies now moving to go into a big export industry for coal. So the movement in the United States to stop new coal-fired power is now going to rev up on coal exports, and it's an Australian company that's helping to build the port to get that export market going. Second point is India is, or Tata, which is one of India's biggest corporations, is saying you would be mad to build new coal-fired power stations because they're estimating that parity for solar will be mid this decade. And they're saying, that's it, we won't be building new coal-fired power stations. And China is already talking about a cap on coal by 2016. So, in fact, the people driving a massive expansion of coal mines and coal seam gas, but coal mines in particular, are actually exposing the Australian economy to massive risk, not only in terms of carbon, the climate accelerating issue, but because we are going into a massive economy dependent on digging holes for something that the rest of the world, as soon as solar in particular, gets onto parity, and we're not far away from that, they're not going to be able to maintain the kind of economy that they're thinking they're going to maintain. So just be aware, this is changing fairly quickly. Third thing, when I mentioned one of our tasks is not only to reduce emissions, but to keep the carbon stores intact, forests is, of course, the clear example of that, and one of the campaigns we need to rev up around the country is the protection of native forests, which is great for the climate campaign, but great for species as well. In terms of, is government driving coal, etc.? Yes, they are, and you only have to look at the fuel tax credits in this year's budget. $2 billion goes to, as the ads are out there today, $2 billion goes to the mining industry alone in the rebate of fuel tax credits. That is double what is spent on environmental programs in the Commonwealth and six times what is spent on national parks. So you've got an issue where we're talking about $2 billion alone going straight to the mining industry. Add to that, they get tax breaks for exploration and all their initial drilling. They get accelerated depreciation. They get R&D funding. You start looking at what they actually pay in tax and then what they get back in terms of all these tax breaks, you find that, that the scenario is there is no level playing field. People talk about the subsidies to the renewable energy industry, but in reality, the massive subsidies in Australia that are creating an uneven playing field are those subsidies which continue to go to fossil fuels. And the final thing in terms of how governments are facilitating this, you will have heard the discussion in the last week about getting rid of environmental regulation, the so-called green tape, as they're calling it. That is about facilitating the mining industry and the coal seam gas industry in destroying years of community campaigning in achieving reasonable environmental regulation to protect communities and the environment. And what we are now seeing is a campaign by both the majors to get rid of environmental regulation. And there's this review of the EPBC Act, and that is going to be where we will see this playing out. So, you know, you've got more than enough campaigns to worry about, but they're just a couple of others that I could mention. And Abbott, finally, Tony Abbott, in terms of what he would repeal, they voted against and argued against the Carbon Farming Initiative, the Biodiversity Fund, but then when it went through, they said they wouldn't repeal it. We've now, as I said, moved the Clean Energy Finance Corporation into legislation so that it has to go through both houses, and I take the point about a double dissolution, but that can't be done quickly because the Senate has to reject something three times, so we're not talking about something that can happen 3 weeks after the election or anything like that. And in terms of emissions trading, when we get to it, I'll be very interested because in order to get the money to do direct action, the difference is what we're doing is raising the money from the polluters to put back. He's talking about what is effectively a competitive grants scheme, which will have to come out of the taxpayers' purse, and there's already a $70 billion black hole with what Joe Hock is proposing. So the question that has to be put up to the coalition at all times is where is the money coming from? Where is the money coming from? Because their direct action has no money attached to it, and it'll become very attractive to keep the carbon price because it shields them. And the campaign to run here is, does anyone in the community believe that a government will repeal a tax? Does anyone in the community believe that? Because I can tell you they don't, and that's a winning campaign for us on Abbott on the carbon price.